As the Bucks look to bounce back from a disappointing loss last night in Houston to the Rockets. Not going to dwell on that too much. We spent quite a bit of time on that on Bucks Talk last night. But a tough stretch here that's sitting in front of the Bucks, as we talked about quite a bit. The Houston Rockets were really the lowest of the low-hanging fruit that you had on this 10-game stretch of scheduling. So disappointing to watch that opportunity go by the wayside and not win that game last night, because tomorrow the reigning NBA champions come to Fiserv Forum. Thursday, you are on the road against the second-best record in the Western Conference in the Memphis Grizzlies. The Utah Jazz refuse to go away. They're still in the top six in the West, and they're in Milwaukee on Saturday. And then next week, 1 week from tonight, you embark on a five-game road trip that includes stops in New Orleans. And the Pelicans, by the way, best record in the Western Conference. But you're in New Orleans, you're in Cleveland, you're in Brooklyn, you're in Boston on Christmas Day, and you wrap up the road trip in Chicago against the Bulls. So this is a very, very tough stretch of scheduling in front of the Bucks right now. We still await further word on Chris Middleton, but that's really the launching point here. Is Chris Middleton left the game last night with what was called an ankle sprain. Very, very tough to make out when this injury actually occurred in the game. Now, Chris left the game, came back in momentarily, left, and at that point he was ruled out for the remainder of the game. But I didn't see where this sprained ankle actually occurred. I was talking with Dave Kane afterwards. Same conversation with him. A few others in Bucks media I was talking with. Did you see where that play happened? None of us could really seem to figure it out. But look, Coach Budenholzer was optimistic after the game last night that this was not going to be a long-term injury. And Chris Middleton is, in fact, listed as probable on the injury report for tomorrow's game. Now, Drew Holiday is listed as questionable with a non-COVID illness. That non-COVID illness has just been ripping through this team of late. Marjan Beauchamp and Serge Ibaka both missing about a week. And now Drew Holiday listed as questionable. And look, for tomorrow, you're going to need Drew. You're going to need Chris Middleton. You're going to need all the perimeter help you can get. Now, you will not see Andrew Wiggins, who's still out with an adductor strain. You will not see Andre Iguodala, but you will see Klay Thompson, who's had a couple of heaters lately, and you will see Steph Curry. So you are going to need as much help as you can get on the perimeter. So you hope Drew Holiday's feeling much better tomorrow and isn't under the weather, and that questionable can get upgraded. But as we mentioned, we were told by Coach Budenholzer, very, very optimistic Chris Middleton would not be missing very much, if any time. Certainly not extended time, and he is listed as probable on the injury report for tomorrow's matchup. I do want to get into this matchup with the Warriors, because the Golden State Warriors come to town nearly 7 years ago to the day of a, depending on your stance, big moment for the early steps of the Bucks building this success. We'll take a look at that anniversary and preview the matchup with the Warriors a little bit later on in the show. Also get you your sub of the week. But up next, we go courtside and hand things off to Gale Klappa. This week on Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks, Gale Klappa's guest, the mayor of Milwaukee, Bobby Portis. You can hear that conversation next on Bucks Weekly.
Bucks forward Pat Connaughton. He's a player that Wisconsin fans know well. Wesley Matthews, a majority owner and the current governor of the team, Mark Lazzari.
Talking about your favorite basketball team from on the court to off.
You never know. You might not have that many years left. So the hunger is for sure still there.
But I mean this. I think the fans in Milwaukee honestly recruited Bobby Portis more than anybody. I mean, he loves the fans in Milwaukee.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Pick up a copy of Milwaukee Magazine. He's on the cover. Click on a local television station. He's asking you to control your drive and save lives. Want to visit Milwaukee? Well, check out the video. They'll show you the high spots from Bradford Beach to the public market. There's a love affair unfolding here. Bobby Portis, a big, tough power forward for the Bucks, has found a home on and off the court. And he sits down with us tonight on Courtside. Bobby, welcome. Always fun to visit with you.
Thank you, sir, for having me.
Oh, Bobby, great to visit with you. And Bobby, thinking back very quickly, you had the best season of your career last year. And in the summer, you signed a new four-year deal with the Bucks. Other teams I know may have offered you more, but you chose to remain a Buck. Tell us about your thinking, if you will.
You know, just being able to be a part of a team that has a realistic chance of, you know, competing for a championship year in and year out. I think that was, you know, priority number one for me. You know, finding a home where I can be comfortable in, you know, playing my role and just being my true authentic self each and every day. You don't get a chance to, you know, have both in one, and I had a chance to have both. So definitely didn't want it to end so soon. And, you know, just how the city, you know, just embraced me as a player, as a man off the court, is definitely something that I cherished a lot. And it just made sense for me.
Well, Bobby, during your time here in Milwaukee, you've clearly blossomed and become a more complete player. What have you focused on to improve, particularly on defense?
Just being more active, talking, communicating, you know, learning how to, you know, play in different coverages, switching, you know, 1-5 and being in center and being an active center and, you know, just trusting my instincts more than anything. You know, it's all about instincts on defense, all about wanting to play defense. So that's one thing that was always a knock on me throughout my career, my first 4 or 5 years in the league, that, you know, I was just a scorer and, you know, I couldn't play defense, whatever it was. But definitely coming here, being around guys that sacrifice a lot, that, you know, give themselves up for the betterment of the team, you know, made me buy into that side of the basketball as well.
Very interesting, Bobby. And I know that each year you set personal goals for yourself before the start of every NBA season. Tell us, if you will, what are you aiming for during this campaign, Bobby?
This campaign, obviously, I'm always a team guy. Obviously, our, you know, bigger picture goal is to get back, you know, to the top of the throne again. You know, chop wood throughout the season, build our camaraderie, build our chemistry, and, you know, hopefully, you know, be healthy enough to compete for a championship. That's team-wise and, you know, individual-wise. I want to be sixth man of the year. Think I've shown that throughout the season, that I can be one of the best six man, you know, not only on the team, but just throughout the whole league. You know, I'm available every game. You know, I'm there for my team, and I think I have a big impact on winning.
Well, Bobby, you're off to a great start. The statistics show that very clearly. Going into this week, as you know, you're averaging a double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds a game. And Sunday night against Houston, you had an even better stat line. You're also shooting nearly 49% from the field. So as the coaches look at the film, I'm curious, what are the coaches telling you about your play so far this season, Bobby?
You know, obviously, you know, as a competitor, as a basketball player, we're always striving to be better. You know, I think I played okay so far this season. I think I can turn it up a notch. I don't really think my three ball has been falling like it normally has throughout my tenure here. But that'll come around. That's the only thing that really hasn't been falling for me. Other than that, I think I've been mixing up, you know, picking and popping and picking and rolling a lot more this year. Throughout my first couple years on the team, I would just pop and guys would just switch and make it easier. So, you know, definitely trying to mix up my roles and my pops a lot more and just being more versatile. On offense, bringing the basketball up, you know, keeping guys on their heels, not letting them know what I'm going to do, and just trying to be a more complete basketball player. That was my goal coming into the season, for real. Thinking the Boston series really kind of woke me up
made me go back to the drawing board, and I think that kind of helped my game take off.
And Bobby, the Boston series you're talking about is when we took Boston to seven games but didn't succeed in the playoffs, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, man. You know, when failure is sometimes a good thing for you. Don't think I played well at all in this series. Had a couple good games, but didn't play up to my potential. I thought that, I could have helped a lot more in, certain regards and things like that. So, that was a big time film that I watched throughout the entire offseason, and I think that kind of helped, me coming into this season.
Bobby, as you know, we did not have Chris Middleton healthy for that playoff series. He's now back, but got slightly hurt last night. Any update on Chris that you have?
I don't have any updates on him. Well, I know he's a competitor. He's a, great guy, even better person off the basketball court. So, whatever he's dealing with, he'll get through it. And, that's the biggest thing with our team is just being healthy, trying to peak at the right time, trying to play our best basketball at the end of the season, not right now. Obviously, it's going to be highs and lows that come with the season, like last night, losing a game we should have won. But, things happen in this league. Have to move on to the next. Big game on tomorrow against the Warriors, so I think everybody would be ready to hoop. But with Chris, man, he'll be okay. I know Big Bro. He works hard. He dedicates himself. He sacrifices a lot to be the best he can each and every day. So I'm not worried about that at all.
We'll have more with Bobby Portis in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
WTMJ. Now back to Gil Klappa and the People's Champ, Bobby Portis.
Bobby, the Bucks have placed a big bet on continuity, bringing back 14 players from last year's roster. And despite the injuries that you and I have talked about early in the year, the strategy seems to be paying off. Your thoughts, Bobby, about the talent and the hunger on this Bucks team?
To bring back, 14 guys from the previous season is, kind of unheard of in sports, especially in basketball, where guys move different teams and, the GM or whoever runs the team, looks at the previous season and see what they can do to make the team better. I think that's, credit to John Horst and his staff for, believing in the players that he already had, I think, just us having the same team helped us get off to the hot start that we did. I think our chemistry and our camaraderie was already there. Because we already knew each other's, games, knew, how each other played. And realistically, everybody already knew their roles on the team. We didn't have any new guys that we had to fill in and, teach them our system and things like that. So I think that really helped us get off to a hot start. But having guys come back and we had guys injured to start the season, which Pat, was hurt, and obviously Chris, and then we brought in Joe. So, when guys, definitely start coming back into the fold, I think everybody's role kind of shifted a little bit, but, that's part of the NBA. It's all about adjusting and being ready when your number's called.
And Bobby, you mentioned Joe Ingles. Bucks fans will remember that the Bucks signed Joe Ingles, a free agent signing in the offseason. He's returning to action, we hope, in the second half of the season, recovering from knee surgery. What kind of impact do you think he can have?
I think when you have guys that play with an edge that, competes, that, gives themselves up for the betterment of the team, they'll do anything, to win. Those type of guys that we need, here in Milwaukee. In the playoffs, you need as many dogs as you can get, man. You need as many, guys that's not scared of the moment, that's not scared to, muck the game up. In the playoffs, the game is not going to be pretty. It might be a 99-98 type game, and who wants the 50-50 balls? And I think Joe's one of those guys that we can plug in, and he can hit big shots. He can play make for others, but his competitiveness is there, and that's what those type of guys that we need, on our basketball team. That's competitive, and that can give themselves up for the betterment of the team, whether it's minutes, whether it's shot attempts, whatever it is to, for the ultimate goal of the team, which is to win.
And I suspect we'll be seeing Joe Ingles, Bobby, in the second half of the season, and he'll make his impact in the run to the championship.
Oh, absolutely, man. He's a great player, man. If you look at his, you know, highlights from, you know, when he played with Utah and in the pick and roll with, you know, Rudy Gobert and things like that, he kind of fed him, you know, the rock, you know, whenever he needed it, you know, getting downhill, you know, faking the big out that's in center, either laying it up, shooting a floater, or, you know, hitting the, you know, the pocket pass to the big man or throwing the lob, man. So I'm definitely going to be cool to, you know, play with him in the second unit, you know, be with him in our unit and add him to our bench mob. It's going to be fun.
Well, Bobby, we've seen some changes to the Bucks' defensive scheme this season, particularly in defending against the long bombs, the three-point shots. Tell our listeners a bit in layman terms about the adjustments in our defensive scheme.
It was definitely, you know, one of those things that we really had to clean up throughout the season, try to work on different things. I think we've done a good job, you know, the last couple of years of just trying new things on defense, because obviously the playoffs, you can't just run one scheme the entire time. You have to have different things that you can throw at, you know, different players, man. You can't give a Jason Tatum or a Kevin Durant, you know, the same type of look all game. You have to give them different looks. So definitely in that Boston series, they killed us at the three-point line particularly. That's what really won the series for them. You know, they had, you know, many games where they made 16-plus threes, and we had games where, you know, we can't even make, you know, seven or six threes. So, you know, definitely we tried to clean that part up on that side of the basketball and, you know, try to force guys into taking tough twos, tough floaters, you know, over our big man.
And, Bobby, of course, the return of Brook Lopez, fully recovered from back surgery, has made a huge difference in the Bucks' defense. What are you learning from Brook about rim protection and shot blocking, which he's just superb at?
Yeah, man. Obviously, when I first got here, I played against Brook, you know, my first 5 years. And, you know, you never really know anyone's impact on the game until you're actually around them each and every day and you're able to, you know, be around them and learn from them and soak in, you know, all the knowledge that they have. He's a very, very intelligent basketball player. I've learned a lot from him, you know, my 3 years here. Definitely fortunate, you know, to, you know, have a guy like that that's a savvy veteran that, you know, his willingness to compete, to give his body up, you know, each and every night. I think we put a lot of pressure on him because, you know, guys kind of gamble a lot and send their mans to him knowing that he's always going to be there. You know, that's a big thing in our league is, you know, helping, you know, on defense. And he's always the, you know, the best helper for us. He's a, you know, in my opinion, you know, I think he's should be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. He fixes things on that side of the basketball for us. And he's just a joy to watch. Sometimes the shot blocking he does, and sometimes even if he doesn't block the shot, he still changes the, you know, the shot of, you know, the opposing player.
We'll have more with Bobby Portis right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. Here's more with Gail Klappa and Bucks fan favorite Bobby Portis.
Bobby, I want to take you back to the COVID-shortened season for a second. You were playing for the New York Knicks. They didn't make the playoffs, and you were watching a lot of basketball on television. I understand as you watched the Bucks, you started thinking that you really could help this team. Take it from there.
You know, that year was a tough year overall because my year in New York really wasn't, you know, how can I put this? It really wasn't, you know, fun. It was a tough year of basketball for me overall, probably one of the toughest years of playing basketball in my life. And, you know, having a chance to just go home during the pandemic, you know, because our team wasn't really that good, so we didn't get a chance to get invited, you know, to the bubble. So I was at home from March to to December, and you know, being able to, you know, watch the games that was in the bubble at home at my house, and watching the Bucks in particular, I just didn't think that, you know, they had anybody like me on the team that, you know, brought the energy I brought. You know, that can be versatile. Obviously, I had a knock on me for playing defense, but I always knew I could to play defense and I can fill a role. And you know, I just wanted to get on a championship level team. Watching them, definitely saw myself, you know, in that space and thought that I can, you know, really help that team. And it's just crazy how sometimes, you know, things come into fruition like that. And the first year I come, we win a championship, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Bobby, as we said earlier, you've fallen in love with Milwaukee, and the good citizens here are showing you a ton of love. You've even, I understand, decided to have your two younger brothers come here to live with you. Tell us about your family's decision, if you will.
You know, obviously, one of my little brothers, he played football in college, but he walked on at Arkansas State. He made a big decision to leave there, you know, and he's going to transfer to another school and things like that, but I think he wanted a break from school. And then my other little brother, he graduated high school last May. And, you know, just to keep these guys out of trouble and, you know, put them in the right environment to where they can, you know, learn from other people and, you know, meet people and, you know, be in a great space. I sat him down one day and, you know, just really talked to him because, you know, I was like I'm like a father figure to them, and I don't have kids and things like that. And I kind of treat my little brothers like my kids because I want them to make the right decisions in life and things like that. And, you know, I asked them, like, should y'all want to come to Milwaukee? You know, we can network up there. We can, you know, help you guys get in position to, you know, meet different people and, you know, learn the ropes and, you know, things like that. And, you know, these guys were on board with it. And I'm just so happy and grateful that, you know, I have the opportunity to, you know, not only, you know, change my life, but, you know, change, you know, the people lives around me and spread my blessings with others. Man, I'm big on family. I'm, you know, big on loyalty. And, you know, these are guys that, you know, been with me my whole life when, you know, we were moving from house to house every other month and things like that. So definitely want to see my little brothers win, and it's kind of cool just to have them around each and every day as well, man. You know, I don't have many friends, so you know, I kind of treat my little brothers like my friends as well.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, Bobby, you've got a clothing line. We can't talk with you about your clothing line, and I heard something today that you've got a plan to open a boutique retail store in the brand new hotel that's going up right across from Fiserv Forum. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Absolutely. It's been a plan that's been put in place over the last couple of years. So, you know, it's kind of crazy to, you know, have a vision, have a dream, and then for it to become reality. Definitely worked hard with my brand and with the underdog meaning, you know, pushing that, you know, not only for sports, just for a way of life, man, you know, for inspiring nurses, inspiring doctors, inspiring firefighters, inspiring basketball players, whatever it is, man. I think we're all underdogs in that regard because nobody really believes that we can, you know, really, you know, be what we want to be in life but yourself. So in that regard, you're underdog. So being able to open up my, you know, storefront, that's going to be in a new trade hotel. It's definitely a dream come true. One of those things that, you know, I dreamed about, you know, for years now since I started my clothing line. And it's just great to have the love and support, you know, from, you know, people in this area. You know, they show me a ton of love, and I try to show it back as much as I can as well.
And Bobby, speaking of giving back, I know that you've gotten very involved with Feeding America here in Milwaukee. Tell us a bit about that, if you will.
Yeah, man, you know, just giving back has always been a big-time passion of mine. I love, you know, putting smiles on others' faces. I love spreading my blessings with others. Just one thing my mom always instilled with me is just to, you know, always, you know, give back, always, you know, spread your blessing with others because, you know, you probably can't, you know, change the trajectory of someone's life, but, you know, just, you know, having a, just, you know, lending a helping hand can go a long way. Partnering with, you know, Feeding America has been a great partnership. They do a great job of, you know, not only, you know, giving food and, you know, water to others, but just inspiring others, you know, to keep going. I think that's our biggest mission. That's our biggest, you know, platform is just to, you know, give back, but, you know, inspire as well.
Well, Bobby, it's great visiting with you. We wish you the best of luck the rest of the season and beyond. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
All right, so as we said a couple of moments ago, the good news for the Bucks is Chris Middleton is listed as probable on the injury report tomorrow. So we heard a lot of optimism from Coach Mike Budenholzer after the game last night, and that seems to be accurate. However, there's always something, it seems. Jrue Holiday is questionable with a non-COVID illness. So just when you think the team is getting fully healthy, something else pops up. And you heard Gale Klappa ask Bobby Portis about Joe Ingles. It certainly appears as though Joe Ingles is going to be with this team any week now, starting to do more five-on-five work and practicing with the Wisconsin Herd. There's been rumblings of Christmas Day, Joe Ingles making his debut about 2 weeks away. With the timelines that we saw from Chris Middleton and Pat Connaughton and what they went through just prior to their return, it would certainly add up. So a good chance at this point we see Joe Ingles before the calendar flips to 2023. We will take a look at what the marquee matchup is for this week. And as I mentioned, tomorrow the Warriors are in town. If it was today, it would be the seven-year anniversary of a special moment. It took place in the Bradley Center, but I think most of you know what I'm referring to. So these two teams will face nearly on the seven-year anniversary of that. It was between these two teams, this date that we're referring to. But let's hand out our hardware for the show, and that is the sub of the week. Same as a week ago, the sub of the week this week belongs to the man you just heard from, Bobby Portis, in his three games off the bench for the Bucks. Averaged 11 points, had a double-double, and also averaging just under 10 rebounds a game. So nearly averaged a double-double for the week. Bobby Portis is our sub of the week for the week that that took place last Tuesday up until Sunday. Bobby Portis and Giannis, the team leaders in double-doubles, and they're currently third in the NBA in total double-doubles this season with 15 double-doubles to lead the Bucks, and again trailing a handful of players for the third most amount in the NBA this season. There are some notable games going on as well tonight, and a lot of these feature teams that the Bucks either just played or will see in this upcoming 10-game stretch or remainder of this 10-game stretch now that we keep referring to. One of those is the Memphis Grizzlies. That'll be the Bucks' next game on the road Thursday night. And they are blasting the Atlanta Hawks right now, 98-71. Bucks are going to see the Cavaliers coming up in about a week as well. Cleveland right now getting beat by the Spurs, 65-49. And the Brooklyn Nets, another team the Bucks will face next week, win again. The Nets are now 11-3 in their last 14 games. Kevin Durant has been a big reason for that success. He scored 30 points tonight. And the Brooklyn Nets are suddenly 17-12 on the season. And finally, all the way firmly into the top four in the Eastern Conference. Celtics still atop the East, a game and a half in front of the Bucks. Then you got the Bucks. Then you got the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the Brooklyn Nets right now just a game back of the Cavs for the third best record in the Eastern Conference. So quite the turnaround we've seen from Kevin Durant and those Brooklyn Nets. When we return, we will take a look at the marquee matchup of the week. As now, this week and next week, it's going to be more difficult to choose which is the marquee matchup. You got the defending champs coming into town. You got a young, intriguing Utah Jazz team coming into town, and you got that matchup we just alluded to on the road in Memphis with the Grizzlies. We'll reveal the marquee matchup of the week and take a look back at 7 years ago today as we wrap up Bucks Weekly after this. Wrapping things up here on Bucks Weekly, and we mentioned 7 years ago on this date, depending on where you fall, something memorable happened. I was going to say something special. That depends on where you fall here, but something certainly memorable happened, and it was between the two teams that will face off tomorrow. December 12, 2015, the Golden State Warriors came to Milwaukee, then to the Bradley Center, and brought with them how do you classify it? 24 straight wins to open the season. They won the previous three games in the postseason after beating the Cavaliers for the title in six. They also won the previous four games of that. They won four in a row the previous regular season is what I meant to say there. So regular season-wise, a 28-game win streak, 24-0 start to the season. They came to Milwaukee. Both the Bucks and the Warriors entered that game on night two of a back-to-back. The Warriors, I remember vividly, Bucks were playing in Toronto. That was my first year on the job on the Bucks Radio Network. The Bucks were playing in Toronto the night before, lost that game, and as our game had wrapped up, the Warriors were playing in Boston against the Celtics, and I remember watching the conclusion to that game in our WTMJ newsroom, because that was the Warriors starting the season then at 23-0, wanting to get a look at the team that was far and away the best team in basketball that season, and the team picked to win the title, team that was unbeaten thus far, and the team that the Bucks would play the next day. It went to double overtime in Boston, and it still went all the way down to the wire. And leaving that game, you thought, man, this is where the run ends, right? Like, we Milwaukee, we are going to be the ones to end that 24-game win streak, because it's night two of a back-to-back, and they just played double overtime. And that's exactly what happened. The Bucks take down the Warriors 108-95, the infamous 24-1 shirts, which some people still have them and rep them to this day. It seems like a lot of people hate those shirts. But the 24-1 shirts that became a spectacle there inside of the Bradley Center, and Tommy, you were all of like 6 years old when this game happened.
I was 15.
Close enough. Do you remember anything about that game?
I was actually trying to jump in. I was going to ask if that game went into overtime, because I was pretty... I remember the game before more than I remember the
Warriors-Celtics, you're saying?
Yeah, I remember the Warriors once
they
lost. Because
NBA TV started picking up every game that the Warriors... If it was a blowout, or if the game they were carrying was a blowout, NBA TV would just start carrying the Warriors game.
Yeah, I remember once they won that game, I immediately thought, oh, geez, we got a shot. We could be the team to mess this whole thing up.
Mess it up, they did. Do you remember who was the leading scorer for the Bucks that night? I mean, so when you look at the box score from that game, this starting five for the Bucks, it feels like a lifetime ago. And really, everyone that played in this game, it feels like a lifetime ago. There are only two players that are still with the team.
And that's Giannis and Chris?
No, I'm just kidding. Yes, it's Giannis and Chris.
So was Larry Sanders was before that.
Larry Sanders was gone.
I'm trying to think of who the big guy would have been.
Oh, come on.
Is it Zaza?
He was a big free agent signing.
Oh, was it Greg Monroe?
It was Greg Monroe, who also led the team in scoring that night.
Wow.
It was a big Greg, go figure, a big Greg Monroe game against the perimeter-based Golden State Warriors. Greg Monroe matched Steph Curry offensively in that game.
I forgot all about Greg Monroe until you brought that up.
It was big performances from Greg Monroe, Michael Carter Williams, and Jabari Parker. The two guys that are still with the team, Giannis and Chris, combined for 18 points and were 7 of 22 from the field. It was everybody else that was the one behind the 24-1 for the Warriors. But that was 7 years ago today, and now you got the Warriors coming to town tomorrow. I was talking with somebody earlier today and said, you know, if I was Steph Curry, show up to Fiserv Forum tomorrow wearing the 24-1 shirt.
I mean, he has more rings anyway.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're the Warriors, you just own that. Like, hey, remember this, 24-1. All right. Well, we won the title last year.
A lot of homecomings for a lot of guys on the Warriors, too. Big Milwaukee, Wisconsin ties on that team.
Big Milwaukee contingency. Kevon Looney, Jordan Poole, Patrick Baldwin Jr. I'm sure he'll leave some tickets for our guy Scott and probably catch up with him before the game. But yeah, 7 years ago today, the Bucks beat the Golden State Warriors to put an end to that win streak at 24 games in the season, 28 regular season games stretching over two seasons. But 24-1 occurred 7 years ago today, and now those same two teams go at it tomorrow at Fiserv Forum. So we mentioned the marquee matchup of the week. To me, it is not tomorrow with the Golden State Warriors. I mentioned you're not going to see Andrew Wiggins. Who knows if we see Drew Holiday, him being questionable on the injury report with a non-COVID illness. We saw how much time that cost guys like Serge Ibaka and Marjan Beauchamp previously. Keep an eye on that. But to me, the marquee matchup of the week is Thursday when the Bucks hit the road once more and take on the Memphis Grizzlies, currently the second best record in the Western Conference. And a Grizzlies team that's really starting to roll now, having won 7 of their last 10 games. Bucks and Grizzlies, Thursday night, to me, the marquee matchup of the week. Bucks and Warriors is up next, though, tomorrow, 6:30 tip. 6 o'clock is when our coverage begins. And as always, join us afterwards for Bucks Talk immediately following the game. My thanks to Gail Klappa and Tommy Wirtz for producing the show. Talk to you tomorrow night on Bucks Talk.